We're continuing our theme from this morning of the amazing grace of God. And our text was the very last verse in the Bible, Revelation chapter 22 and verse 21. The end of the Bible, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now that's how the Bible ends, of course. So we're looking at this great saying, as it were, at the end of the Bible, that it's like a prayer that the grace of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, will be with us. Well, so what is this? This is the great help that comes from heaven. We need great help from heaven. I know we feel in ourselves sometimes particularly a great need for some help, and of course it's the help from heaven that we need most of all. And so this is emphasized, and we were going through different verses in the Bible this morning considering how it is such a great thing that God has made us, and yet we're far from God because of the fall of man. We have all have a sinful turning away from God. It's our nature. So we need God to help us. And it's a marvelous thing. I pointed to the doctrines of grace, that because of our state, it's only when God moves that a person is lifted up. God, we can't lift ourselves up, but God can lift us up. He lifts a person. The Bible describes it as taking us from death to life. And now, this happens through Jesus Christ, the one who died for sinners to save them. And so when a person trusts in Jesus Christ, he knows it's the grace of God. It's something that God has done for him. And so our hearts are warm towards God. We thank him for delivering us from the punishment that would be due to us, that was borne by the Lord Jesus, and as a substitute, he took our sins and he counts his righteousness to us. The great substitution, the great salvation that we know in Jesus Christ. Now the problem the Christian has then is he has to live the rest of his life. And so we're looking for how do we understand this great need of and the great provision of God. I described it as this grace is that we need God's help because he says we do, and because he promises to give it. Now we've got as far as this morning as Isaiah chapter 40, and we considered that wonderful text from verse 6 to verse 8, how the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. That was where we got to this morning. That man is described as a withering grass, piece of grass, a flower that fadeth. We shouldn't be surprised then that we feel rather weak. But we're given the word of God that stands forever. That is totally above us, is totally pure and righteous, but God gives us his word. He gives us his word. That is how sure the promises of God are. Now, I want to continue then with this theme by showing this amazing grace through various other scriptures. Well, we just sang Psalm 23. We see this great shepherd in Isaiah 40, continuing there in verse 11. It says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Well, this here isn't talking about sheep in a field. This is describing God's flock. It's the Lord who will come with a strong hand in the previous verse. God shall feed his flock like a shepherd. So the picture is here that the human being needs to eat, but we're talking spiritual things from God here that he needs. He needs to be fed by a shepherd. The human being would starve without God's provision. And yet he does it, and it's so gentle what God does. He gathers the lambs with his arm and carries them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young, a sheep which has baby lambs. It needs help from a shepherd. You'd think it would be all self-sufficient, but it's not. It needs help, a lot of help sometimes. They can soon die. Sheep die very quickly. But if the shepherd takes care of them, they produce lots and lots of lambs. And God is gentle in this way. A shepherd must be gentle with his sheep, or they die. They can't manage on their own. And so this is exactly a picture of God's great grace. You see, so how can we manage without God's grace, without God's help? And we can be sure that it's there. He's describing it to us here. This shepherd nature. Are you shepherded by God? Or are you wandering along in life feeling very much on your own? No, God is there. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the good shepherd. You know, he did more than any other shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life for the sheep. The shepherd can't do that. It's impossible. But Jesus Christ does the things that are impossible. He calls us to trust in him. Is he your shepherd? Will you trust? You can trust Jesus Christ. Now, we don't propose that there are many people we can trust. But Jesus Christ, the one that died to save us from our sins, what a one to trust. The good shepherd, what grace this is. This is nothing anyone can do, you see. To get to heaven, what could I do? Nothing. I need a shepherd to take me. We need to go to this shepherd. Say, Lord, be my shepherd and lead me on to heaven. And keep me now, this day by day. When I get in such a state, what can I do? Are you trusting the shepherd and trusting him? Trusting him with this work that he's promising here. This is the amazing grace of God, but that we need and is provided for us, promised to us. Now, the end of that chapter which we read shows, again, this grace is God giving us things that are really impossible. You look ahead and there's a big dark day ahead, you think, it's impossible. I don't know what to do. Just hear this. What God does. Verse 29-31, we read it. He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths, you see, they call them feral youths these days, running around the streets, shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Don't know how far you can run before you get out of breath, but here you shall run and not be weary. Of course, this isn't talking about literally running, is it? It's talking about being able to live, being able to be alive, being able to stand and walk through this, to get through day by day. And they shall walk and not faint. These are great things, but only God can do it, you see. Here, even a young, strong man will faint. And they do, indeed they do. But God, he's giving power. Now, this isn't power to go around and do horrible things. This is power to love God, to be a person of God, to do the things that you need to do just to keep going day by day, to be able to say, praise the Lord. I'm a sinner saved by grace. What a good and wonderful God we adore. But you see, this power is only given by God. It's only given by God to be able to stand in the evil days and to be able to have a hope ahead of us. Only God can give this. We can't ever earn it. We can do nothing for it. But we must trust in Jesus Christ. It's a humble thing indeed to be broken before God. But you see, this is it for the faint, weak person. He's giving. This is God's amazing grace here. How can we get by without it? It's impossible. But it's promised here. He giveth power to the faint. This is, of course, to them who cast themselves upon God. Let's turn to Isaiah, just on a few verses, really. Chapter 41 and verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Well, we're going to come to the subject of righteousness a little bit further on. But here, we are not to be afraid, and we're not to be dismayed. Now, if you say that to a person who's afraid and who's dismayed, they'll say, well, I'm still afraid and I'm still dismayed. You can't just tell someone not to be afraid, because there are real things to be afraid of. A person should be afraid of hell, should be afraid of meeting God. But there's... I've talked to you of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, so there's a place that we can soon stop being afraid of hell if we repent and trust in Jesus. But there can be more fears, even for the Christian. As he's going on, there are fears. Fears of failing. The fear of sin is good to be afraid of sin, that we should be very afraid of sin. But we may be afraid of enemies. Enemies of the people of God. They do exist. Or we may be dismayed. We may feel in some way rather confused. Rather difficult to get through things. These things are not common. They are not uncommon. It could be for even quite a mature Christian, things could get all higgledy-piggledy in some way, and they could be quite dismayed and start doubting. How can God help us? How can he help us with such things? It says, for I am thy God, I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, it was a little bit on righteousness then, okay. That there is God's righteousness. We need to be clothed with his righteousness. The righteousness of Jesus Christ. And then we are covered. The blood of Christ for our sins. The righteousness of God to have us acceptable into heaven. We're not just forgiven, we're counted righteous. That is God holding you up, saying, you weak and weary and failing person, I'm your righteousness. My right hand is righteousness. And it's holding you, it'll hold you up. You see, it's God that gets you into heaven, not yourselves. If you're fearful, if you're dismayed, remember, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, I am thy God. There are lots of gods in this world that people worship and follow. But the real God, the God of the Scriptures, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, he will strengthen you. Other gods wear you out and weary you. But our God strengthens us. We must be looking to him. What great grace there is here. What great power from heaven to help us. This is the only help. Who else can help you like God can help you? The Isaiah 42 and verse 3. One of our lecturers at the London Theological Seminary quoted this frequently, teaching us on pastoral things, reminding us, I'll just read it. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment into truth, particularly the first two phrases. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. Some of us may feel of ourselves, or of others perhaps, they're very, very frail. They're very pathetic in some ways. A bruised reed. Now, if you have a bruised reed, I think it's in a... You fill it with oil and you light it. If it's bruised or bent over, it's not much good really. You might as well throw it away and get a fresh one. That's what people are like. That they aren't full of strength and vigor. And we would just write them off, wouldn't we? We'd say, well, that person, they've just gone useless now. Not up to anything. But a bruised reed shall he not break. This is the tenderness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold my servant. It's one of the servant songs. It comes in here. The person that the devil would say you're finished with, there's nothing good about you. The bruised reed, the sensitive soul, Jesus says, come to me. Trust me, he will not break you. The smoking flax likewise. It should be, I'm sure quite of the illustration, it should be full of vigor, but it's smoking and dying off, but he won't quench it. He'll get it, encourage it to flourish. That's promising, isn't it? That's the gentleness, the grace of God. You see, because of his righteousness, he can save the weary, the frail person. It's granted life. This is God's grace. There's nowhere else to turn but to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in chapter, in the same chapter, in verse 6 and 7, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. Of course, this is referring specifically to the Lord Jesus Christ, but to his people to be a light to the Gentiles also. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. If you get thrown into prison for life, it must feel like the very end. But even for these people, the Lord, you imagine being put in prison for the rest of your life. I can't imagine it. But it's not too late there to be called by the Lord Jesus to eternal life, to trust in him. But God's grace there, but from sitting in darkness and in blindness. That lovely, what he does for Christ in verse 6, that he holds his hand and gives him from a covenant. What the Lord God the Father does for the Lord Jesus, he does for all his people. To hold your hand, I will hold thine hand and will keep thee. It's nice to hold someone's hand. The right time, the right person. And this is for a baby, will hold the parent's hand, child will hold the parent's hand, husband and wife will hold hands, friends sometimes will hold hands. But here it's God that will hold your hand, that will take you. It's nice if you're a blind person, you can't see where you're going. Someone will take you by the arm or by the hand and lead you along. It's what you need, isn't it? Some help. But for the great walk of life, the great challenge of getting from earth to heaven, the most important walk and journey that there is, this is what counts. How could we get there? God's grace holds the hand of the believer. And people think it must be a very empty life to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But truly we should be knowing that it's really God is holding our hand and taking us and keeping us. This is the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He promises in chapter 43 and verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, this is going through deep waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, you walk through fire, the worst things in life, what does it say? Thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. He doesn't say that he won't have you go through any deep waters, through any of these rivers. You've got to get through some rivers. You've got to get through some fires. Are we frightened of what's going on ahead of us in our lives? What we feel like we're feeling like drowning, or you're feeling like that things are burning up. There are some terrible feelings that can torment people. But here, it doesn't say that it won't happen. It says, I will be with thee. I will be with thee. Do we believe that God is with us? If we can't see that God is with us, we have to believe it. This is the word that's given to us. Do you believe that God is with you through all these things? Now, again, I put it like this. If we're told that these are the things that are going on, and the comfort is that God will be with us, and that is the thing that's going to keep us from harm, how can we manage without? Do we know people who, as if they walk through floods and deep water and burning fires, and they think they can get through? They can't. They need the all-powerful, almighty God to be with them, to bring them through these things. It's the only way through life. And the promise is there that I will be with thee. This is the word of God. You see what grace this is. God's goodness. It's not saying, oh, you've got a terrible thing ahead, oh, you better pull yourself together. No, it says, I'll be with thee to bring thee through these things. The flames won't get you in the end. The water won't drown you, because I'll be with you. We don't pray for an easy life. Pray for God to be with you, and he will be with you. Of course, in the name of Jesus Christ. There's no communication with God separate from that. We must have our sins taken away by the blood of Christ. We must be trusting him. We must be repentant. Of course we must. These are the promises to Christians. Well, we should be getting to a conclusion. I've got lots more of these, but we won't. Again, we just have another. Let's just have another two. Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 3 and 4. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring, and they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. So here, God pours out water onto the ground. It's completely dry. This is another, you can have, it's another one of those terrible feelings we can get from time to time. A total dryness, a barrenness. As if the world is totally empty, like we're in a desert almost. It can feel like that sometimes. What does it need? It needs water. Can we, in a desert, can we make water ourselves? No. God, it needs God to pour out the water. And it's the same here with his Spirit. He promises to pour out his Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. The Lord Jesus says, I'll call upon the Father, and the Father will send the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a wonderful thing, because this brings together the truth of Jesus, who's our Savior, who's risen into heaven. And then how do we know? Because the Spirit comes. God, the Spirit, calls people. This work of grace is the work of the Holy Spirit. We can ask for the Holy Spirit, or we can ask for God's grace. We might get a bit muddled up on what words we're using there, but it's God's grace of the sending of the Holy Spirit, God the Spirit. And when he comes, it's like pouring out upon us. God himself comes, you see. When we trust in Jesus Christ, we know that it's God himself who is giving us the very water of life. This is what it is to believe on the Lord Jesus. It's the difference between being absolutely thirsty and having that glass of water that you need to drink. What you need, water. This is God's grace. It's all made by God. Our state is our sinful state. We've brought upon ourselves, and we can't help ourselves. We need this water of God, the Holy Spirit. And finally, a wonderful verse in Isaiah 45 and verse 22. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. It's just a look to God. You can't ask for much less than that, can you, from someone, to be saved, to look to God. It sounds so simple, and yet this itself is the gift of God's grace, that a person would stop what they're doing and would look to God and be saved. To look to God, to believe God, it is to believe what he says. If you're going to look to him, you're looking to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is what it is to look to him and to be saved. All the ends of the earth, wherever you're from, whatever your situation, every person is under God's eye. And they've all got to look to him. And the promise there, the grace of God, is that they'll be saved. It's putting our whole trust. When you look, it's like a person would look to a slave, looks to the master, and this is what they say. But they look, and they're theirs. And when you look to God, you're his. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he will save you. You can look to God tonight, and you can say, now I know. All these precious promises of God's pouring out his blessing, because this good shepherd, the Lord Jesus, who's given power to the faint, he's taken away my fear and my dismay. I'm a bruised reed and a smoking flax. I'm poor and weak, but he's not quenched me. I can see now this is the God who can bring me through the waters, the fires. He blots out our transgressions. That's when I skipped that one. Chapter 43, verse 25. Perhaps this is the best to conclusion. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake and will not remember thy sins. Now we need this, our sins blotted out. Oh, what people would do to try and clear their consciences. Things long ago in the past, God says, I will not remember thy sins. What peace we can have then. This is the work of the one who died for sinners, of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is how these things happen. And to be given this faith is the glory to the glory of God. It's all of grace that no one can boast. Let us be encouraged that we need God's help because he says so and he promises to give it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.